Father, I want to thank you for the amazing whys in our life. There's a why, Lord, to why each person is here today. You are busy with each and every one of us. And almost 20 years ago, you started something in my life. It's coming full circle. And to share it with these people, these children of yours today, it's just your will. Where else do we want to be than in your presence? Where will we go, Lord? You have the words of life. And so we turn our hearts to you this morning. Amen. I want to speak about something that's been on my heart this year for a while, and even in Secunda, we've been touching on this. Some of these guys will remember some of these things. I just want to say, if you are here today and you know God, I know that you're going to be touched by Him in a specific way. I want to tell you, as we look at the electric fence in your heart, which speaks about the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad for the words that were shared this morning. I want to say God is constantly talking to you about you and helping you in the right direction. If you are here today, you're not really a church person, I want to just commend you for your courage. Maybe someone brought you in here or bribed you. I'm glad you're here, okay? Let me just say this, God is also speaking with you because He loves you so much and He wants to draw you one step closer to the cross. Amen? And so just welcome to every one of you. And this morning we're going to talk about the electric fence. And just allow me to take a few moments and lay a bit of a foundation before I head into our key scripture for this morning. Christ walks on the beach and He calls His disciples in Matthew 4 and He says, "Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men." Follow me, come to me, and I'm going to make something out of you. And what I want to say this morning, and I want to say this, it might offend some people, but this is the truth. True love always changes you. And we hear it so often. Oh, if I'm just who I am and you should accept me that way, or there's the door. You know, I am who I am. And we so lean towards defending ourselves, and then Christ comes and says, "No, I want to make you something. I want to change you." Because He knows only by changing can you actually become who you were made to be. True love inspires change in your life. And so you're also designed in that way. You are designed to be adaptable and to grow at a very high speed and also very consistently. Christ wants to change you. Amen? And He wants to see you change, and He wants to land in every area of your life. He wants to land in your finances. He wants to land in your marriage. He wants to come and help you establish your identity. And as you engage with Him, you are constantly changing. Developing. Change is a good thing, and true love changes you. Good friends, the love of good friends will always nudge you to change. Real friends. Some people, they're nice, but the friends that love you and that walks left and right of you and are in covenant with you, they will always inspire you to change, to be all you can be. Amen? By the way, I don't really like stages. Where I come from, we don't have a stage because then I must be aware of the shoes I wear. But luckily, they need this morning, so yeah. But one of my friends said, "You should never preach on a stage because your taste in shoes is really bad." But yeah, so I'm on a stage today, Andres, but I'll pull through. Let's just turn to Romans 12. We're talking about you being changeable, bendable, you are able to change. And I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And here's the key. Do not be changed to this world. You can also change in a way that's not good for you, in a way that will destroy your future. Amen? Do not be conformed or changed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. You can change. You should grow. But I also want to say that the plan of the enemy is to take advantage of your adaptability as a human being. And he also has plans for you to renew your mind. If I can state just the crux of that verse for me for this morning, I would say this. I will be more like Jesus if I renovate my mind. That word If you just go and look at that word and study it a bit, to be renewed can also be seen as to renovate my mind. And to represent, if you take the hyphen out of represent, it means to do something on behalf of another person. But represent like this is to present yourself over and over to God. If I'm open to renovate my mind and I bring myself over and over before God, I will change to be more like Jesus Christ, my Lord. And the same is true for you this morning. And so let's kick it off here. Every believer has an electric fence to help you discern when a thought or an idea or a fear or a plan is not from God. You have it in you. You've got a built-in system to be aware of what's going on around you spiritually, even if you don't understand it. There's a voice in you, there's something in you that allows you to know when there is danger in your heart. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Are you with me this morning? And let's call that the electric fence this morning, that by testing you may discern. And so I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been in a real mess? Maybe some of us are in a mess this morning. Maybe you can look back to a place in your life. Just go back there for a moment. Just think of that situation where you found yourself. Have you ever thought, what if I was warned? What if I knew? What if I could just sidestep this whole situation? You cannot go back in time, all right? God can help you walk through a situation you got yourself in, but look ahead. Leave what's behind. Look to the front. Let me tell you what, you've got an electric fence in your life right now. The Holy Spirit is constantly speaking with you and wants to help you go one step forward. Amen? These are two quotes from The Art of War. I like this. It says, "Your enemy, know your enemy and know yourself, and you can fight 100 battles without disaster." Every battle is won before it's fought. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to take you through the plan that the enemy has to make war against your heart. To create an awareness in your heart so that you can say by the end of today, "Lord, I'm just putting up a fence here. I'm just establishing an electric fence around this area of my life. I realize this fence has been down. Everything comes and goes. Lord, I just want to rebuild that." Amen? James 1 verse 14 to 15. We're going to stay here and just spend some time around this scripture. When I came to Hermanus back then, almost 20 years ago, it's amazing the decisions you have to make when you're 14, 15, 16 years old. You're such a young person. You're making decisions that will alter your life forever. I mean, out there, some of us, we don't want to know this, but for the young people, everything is available on the outside. Every sin imaginable, it's right there. And for me, this rings close to my heart because that was the time in my life where I had to become victorious in areas of my life. And what's also special to me is a lot of people in this room became my friends when I emerged through that time. Just met me on the other side of the cross. And I just want to honor you guys also for being here. James said, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." We're talking about the electric fence this morning. And the plan of the enemy against your life. First thing I want to say is the plan of the enemy is to lure you. I'm going to give you 5 points. He wants to lure you. Vifang karpiso. Who does freshwater fishing? No one. There where I come from, Secunda, there's no ocean, okay? The mana van karp. And so you've got this thing we call a millibom. Okay, so they go in with a little boat and they drop a huge amount of flavorsome, milly, whatever they call it. And it's got very distinct taste. And apparently different fish has got different smell in different dams. I don't know how it works. But in any case, it's scary. And then people will sometimes take in their line with a boat and drop it exactly where they've been creating this feeding pool for a week. Now, here's the key. You don't catch the fish when you drop the millibomb. You bring them 1 meter closer to the area of danger where you're going to drop your line. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do with me and you. He knows he can't catch you from the start, but if he can get you one step closer, he's happy. If he can get you one step further from Christ, just one step for now, just one step, he's happy. He wants to lure you. And that is the first impulse of your electric fence that will go on. You will realize there is something happening in my heart right now. And if I'm honest about it, this is not a good thing I'm experiencing here. This is way before sin actually happens. Are you with me? You experience something. Let me just say this. In real war, you might want to starve your enemy, for example, of water. And you know there's a water source close by and you'll ambush them there because they will have a legitimate need. They need to drink water. But here's the good news for us. The enemy has got nothing we need. He's got nothing you need. But he creates a felt need in your heart for you. You feel you need it, but trust God. He's got nothing for you. He is just luring you with something that God wants to give you in any case. God wants to meet a much deeper need. He brings it superficial so you can see it. He's got nothing for you. And so when your electric fence go off on this, when you're starting to be lured, just say no. Just say no. I'm not stepping one step in that direction. And at this place, there's not a lot of facts. There's not a lot of stuff you can point to. It's just in your heart. It is so subtle. But the Holy Spirit is faithful, and He's warning you. This often sounds like this. It is only a kiss. It is only lunch with that person. What's the sin of lunch? There's nothing wrong with having lunch with someone. There's nothing. It's not a sin to drop flowers at someone's house. Yeah, but you should not be dropping them at that house. It's only this amount. It's only this month. It is only. That's the starting stages. And before it happens here. Everyone with me? You have an electric fence, a spiritual impulse in your heart. If the fence is on, there will be a warning. Let's go on. Each person is tempted when he is lured. We're just making our way very slowly through the scripture. And enticed by his own desires. Very interesting. Very interesting that the war that is waged against you will be specifically designed for you by the enemy. He's been watching you for a while. Now, some temptations are universal. You know, all of us needs to be in a relationship. It's a great need. It's from God. That can also be used by the enemy. We have sexual desires given to us by God. He's also given us the way to find that absolute fulfillment in His will. So some is universal, and it's for all of us. And He uses that as well. And some temptations are very specific. Some women are very tempted by shoes. When they see shoes, they need that pair of shoes. When they open the closet at home, it's like a landslide of shoes coming out. I'm not tempted by shoes. I've got other stuff. In that sense, we are different. Are you with me? We can see. Mr. Price goes a long way, okay? In some sense, we are different. In other sense, we are the same. But let me tell you what your own desires or your own place of finding yourself will determine also how the enemy wants to take you one step further from God or one step closer to your demise. Are you with me? And some of these temptations are very hard to spot. I'm talking about being victorious this morning. I'm talking about changing from where I was back in 1999 to where God has taken me. And God wants to work with you in the same way. We're talking here about conquering stuff in your life, changing your life. Some of these are difficult to spot. Let me give you a few examples. There's a temptation of validation. Maybe you felt in your home that your friends had all the lovely stuff. They had great toys. They had great cars. And maybe you felt, you know what? In our house, we never had that. And right now, maybe you are 40 years old, 50, still trying to validate to yourself that you can earn money and do well. And so the temptation is to get on a treadmill to validate yourself. But God is already in love with you. Loves you already. You can rest. And so some of these things is not apparent sin, but it's a temptation in your heart to get you busy. A temptation can also be fear. Maybe you've been abused in relationships, or some relationships went really bad. And whenever there's an opportunity, the enemy helps you to get offended with your husband. It comes from a fear. And your electric fence should go off when you're having dinner and there's a thought that comes into your heart. He's saying something and he's just chatting away and there's an opportunity for offense, and that's a temptation. Did you know that? And the electric fan can go off. God can minister to you in that moment. The man loves you. The man cares for you. Don't listen to the enemy. Are you with me? It can be easily seen or hard spotted. And then there's the whole area of godly desires that God gives to us, stuff like sex and money and relationships. And that's amazing. And the enemy uses that momentum to offer you something else. Be very aware of what you are open to. Be very aware of your heart's desire. What draws you in? What is your passion? Because your passion can also be your weakness. Should be your strength. But the battle against you are tailor-made. So let me say this. You need friends that loves you madly and love Christ madly. You need people around you that loves you so much that they will speak into that area, that they will touch where it hurts. If you are alone, you will fall prey to Satan's accusations and you will slip down every time. Surround yourself with great and amazing friends that can walk with you. If you are new around here, get into a small group. Start building those trusted relationships. Open your life. Say, listen, this is where I come from. This has been a problem for me in the past. Will you be my keeper? Will you chat to me about this? I have messed up in this area before. I won't again with your guys' help. Amen? The battle of temptation is fought on the plains of desire. What is in your heart? What is the desires? Desires is fuel for life. It gets you going in the morning. It gets you going. What is in your heart? Here's a few cool prayers that you can pray. Declarations you can make over your own life. Father, my greatest desire is to become like my King. That's a good prayer to fuel your desires for God. My desire is to see Jesus fully formed in my life. That is my greatest desire. There's many other desires, and when your fence go off, the enemy is here. He's giving you opportunity. Like, that's not my primary desire. I want to be like Christ. Father, my every desire in my life, I place at your feet. Jesus, you are my desire. If a relationship with Jesus is desired above everything else, temptation will not come near you. Let's move on. When he is lured and enticed by his own desire, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. Number three, when I accept the temptation, it becomes mine. This is a reality of life. Every now and then, a terrible thought comes into your head. You're even ashamed to mention it. Is that your thought? It's not your thought. It did not come from you. It came from the pit of hell. It can be a thought that leads you astray. It can be a sexual thought about another person. I'm being blunt here. It did not come from you, but here's the key. You have to send that thought packing. You have to expel it. Because if you take it and you put it in your pocket, it becomes yours. If you take the lie of the enemy onto yourself, it starts to have power over your life. And by this time, you should hear the electric fence going, no, no, don't take this. And the temptation sounds like this. I can handle this. I can handle this one. I can handle this. Or I deserve this. Or that person deserves this. And so there's a way to validate this thing. But let me tell you what, if you can send it packing, it will not have power over your life. I like this quote from Bill Johnson. I cannot accept a thought about me that God doesn't have toward me. Amen? And so we often hear people talk like this. They'll say, ek is mos depressief. I always struggle with this. It's been a struggle my whole life. I'll just accept it. Don't accept. If it's not God's heart toward you, you need to war yourself out of that situation. Don't accept it. So ask God how he sees you. The Holy Spirit has trained me in a very specific way. As I go just through the day and stuff enters my heart that's not welcome there, I find myself saying, that's a trap. That's a trap. And maybe you should ask the Holy Spirit for a war tactic for yourself. Say, God, you obviously are madly in love with me. You know who you made me to be. Now, if there's a thought that comes to me or an idea that's not from you, please warn me very strongly so that I can say no. Amen? We're doing well this morning for time. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Or when it has conceived, it gives birth. Okay, there's a birthing process that happens here. After conception comes birth. Now, this is the stage that I want to almost explain as it's the slippery slope. Stuff is going backwards. Because you know what? The thought was bought. All right? And it was all in here. And it was all in your heart. And you were maybe thinking about it. But at the stage of birth, for the first time, this thing can now be seen. Or felt. All right? And some of you, maybe you're already at this place. But the same is true for your spiritual walk. As you sow seeds into following God, if you sow seeds of worship, what you reap is peace and a closeness with God. If as you sow seeds of spending time in God's word, what you read is an understanding of God's mind. But now you've sown thoughts or bought thoughts that's not from God, and now this thing is just starting to grow for the first time. So you've been maybe holding on to unforgiveness, which is a bad one. But you love your wife, but now suddenly you are constantly fighting with your wife because you see that seed is bearing fruit here. Because you're standing right here. And I carry my unforgiveness wherever I go. And for the first time, I'm straining with my wife. Because of a seed of unforgiveness. Maybe there's stuff that I watched on the computer and God said, don't do it. And you said, I can handle this. And you went onto sites where you should not be. And now for the first time, in the beginning it was here, now it is felt in your intimacy with your wife. The birth stage, the evidence starts to impact people around you. And your fence is going off. God is there, ready to help you. Let me say something about your identity. Scripture says in Ephesians 2 verse 10 that you are God's workmanship. Jy is God se vakmanskap, uit jou gemaak. He knows exactly who you are. And he wants to define your personality. And so the enemy wants to come for that as well. And suddenly you find yourself being someone you're not. You're starting to push people away. Come back to God. You are his workmanship. He created you. Amen. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And sin, when it is fully grown, it brings forth death. Number five, this whole story ends with a death of some sort. Something is lost. Maybe it's your joy. Maybe it's a great relationship. Maybe you literally lost your money. I don't know, but it's some sense of loss. You feel as if you are robbed. And this is a question that I hear often as a pastor. Someone will sit there on a table with me, and what they will say is something that sounds like this. How did I end up here? I don't know how we ended up here. We started so well. The future looked so bright for us. How did we get here? This is how. One step at a time. It started with me being lured just off center. One step. Very innocent. It started with the enemy offering solutions for something that God has an eternal plan for. And I just grabbed onto it because I had a desire to take another step. And something went off here. There was an electric impulse in my heart. Says, no, that's not the way. But I ignored it. And I walked one step at a time. So I want to ask you this morning, where are your feet pointing? Because one step at a time. There's a destination. If we go to the next slide. Every path has a destination. On which path are you walking right now in every area of your life? Go and sit with a friend and say, talk with me. Be honest with me. Everything you've wondered the last year about my life, about my relationship with my wife, everything, just talk with me. Help me to direct my steps in the way of life. Where's your feet pointing? And make adjustments. Amen? He loves you so much. And so maybe today you are in a mess. Maybe you've just been living without joy for a few years. Let me tell you what. God is here. And He loves you so much. And He's made provision for you. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Do it over and over. As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed. Don't take a step. Not one. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God has made you adaptable so that you can become more and more like Jesus as you grow. Keep your loving, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ alive and you will be okay. No one makes more mistakes than me. Ask my wife. But I love Jesus. And I'm constantly asking Him to direct my steps. And He's gotten me out of a lot of messes in my life. In Hermanus, almost 20 years ago, there was a fork in the road for me. Today I stand here by grace. You are here today. Where will you be in 5 years? What is the fork in your road? Is there an area in your life that you're doing well in? And maybe God is just starting to prepare you to do amazing things. Because remember, you are His workmanship. And He's just busy with the work in your life. And you're about to have amazing breakthrough. But what is the enemy offering on the side? Don't go for it. Don't be lured one step to the left or to the right. Say no. Rebuild that electric fence. Amen. Get it up. So let's stand this morning and let's respond to what God wants to say to us. You guys can stand up. When we were worshiping this morning, When we were worshiping, I believe God told me that there's keys here today, spiritual keys to unlock bondage. God's got the key to every bondage in your life. He knows your situation. He knows what you can be. He knows the road you're walking on. He made you. I want to say this. If you are here and you're visiting us this morning, it's so awesome to have you here. And this is very important. You cannot walk into a relationship with God. You get saved into one. He comes and He does a work as we invite Him. And the same for us here today that's believers, and maybe you are not 100% where you know you can be. Fall into the arms of the Everlasting One. And allow Him to work in your heart this morning. He's here. Let's just close our eyes and just give this moment to God. Father, You say in Your word in Acts 3 verse 19, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing might come. And Father, I just want to thank You for every person here today. I just want to honor You for how You made every person. I just want to bring everyone before You, Lord, and there's so much that we're going to do for You, Lord, and every heart here is exactly, Lord, shaped in the way they should be, Lord, and I just come against any heaviness in this place. I just come against that spirit of heaviness that weighs us down, that makes us grumpy, that causes us to lose hope, Lord, and we just bring it before You. Today You're inviting us to the throne of grace where the water is sweet, where there's freedom, where there's peace. So I want to ask this morning, because I don't know you guys that well, while every eye is closed, I just want to ask, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? What is your next step? What is He doing in your life? What is He doing in your marriage? What is He doing in your home? What is your next step? And I want to encourage you to take that step closer to God. You know, maybe you're very far from God and maybe you're scared even of this moment. Let me tell you what, He loves you so much. And so we've got people here that's going to pray with some of us this morning. And here's my first invitation that I want to make today. If you need to reconnect with God, or you need to connect with God for a start, let me just say this, He's here, ready to take your hand. Christ has paid the price. If you had come to Him, He'd open His arms and receive you this morning. And so here's my question, is there anyone here this morning that wants to say, Van, I need to reconnect with God, my Maker. I want to come back to Him, or I want to start a relationship with my Savior this morning. Then I want to ask you to put your hand up very high and say, that's me. Pray with me this morning. Thank you for that, Anne. Maybe you once had a relationship with God and you don't know. You're saying this morning, how did I get here? Let me tell you what. His grace for you has not run out. Amen? He loves you. And so today you can start over with God. And if you're saying in your heart, I want to start over today with God, I want you to raise your hand very high and say, I need to start again. Awesome. And then I want to make an invitation. The keys to freedom is with God. And if you want to walk into freedom in any area of your life, if you want to take ownership of whatever it is and say, God, direct my steps once again, I want you to quickly come to the front. There's going to be facilitators praying with people, and God's going to break bonds. Amen.